Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, Madhya Lila, Chapter 1. All glories to Lord Vishvambar, the crest jewel among Brahmins, and all glories to the beloved associates of Lord Vishvambar. All glories to Lord Gaurachandra, a stalwart amongst all religious preachers, the safe bridge to the spiritual sky. He has fully subdued his physical and mental urges. All glories to him. He possesses incomparable beauty and is the embodiment of congregational chanting of the holy name of God. All glories to Lord Gaurachandra, for he is the dearest friend and life of Lord Nityananda Prabhu and the sublime object of love of Gadadhar Pandit and Advaita Acharya Prabhu. He is very dear to Sri Jagadananda Pandit and the tender, loving heart of Vikreshwar Pandit and Kashishwar. He is the Lord and Master of Srinivas and other beloved associates. O Lord, kindly look upon the living entities with divine benevolence. The descriptions recorded in the Madhya Kanda are like streams of nectar. When it pours out into the ears, it melts the granite-like doubts and atheistic thoughts in the deep recesses of the heart. Please listen attentively and with unflinching faith to the narrations of Madhya Kanda, describing the beginning of congregational chanting of the holy name. The entire township of Navadvip offered jubilant and loud welcome to the Lord who had just returned from Gaya Dham. Friends and relatives rushed to meet the Lord. The Lord spoke sweetly to everyone, and they were overjoyed to see Lord Vishvambar return. They all accompanied the Lord, many of them going in front of him, and brought him to his house, and he began narrating the experiences of his pilgrimage. The Lord said, "Because of all your blessings and good wishes, I could visit Gaya Dham and return without any difficulties." The Lord spoke very humbly, pleasing everyone, and they were very impressed to see the Lord's humility. The senior members touched the Lord's head and blessed him with a long life. Others touched different parts of his body and chanted mantras for his protection. Others put their heads on his breast and invoked the mercy of Lord Govinda and Sita Devi. Nobody could describe the joy Mother Sachi experienced when she saw her son return. Lakshmi Devi glowed with happiness by seeing her Lord's face, and the cloud of loneliness had dissipated. The joyous news spread to his in-laws' house and touched them with jubilation. The Vaishnavas were especially happy, and they ran to see the Lord. To everyone, the Lord spoke very humbly and softly, and taking leave of them, he returned to his room. He took a handful of his intimate disciples and went inside to discuss more confidential topics about his pilgrimage to Gaya. The Lord said, "My dear friends, I want to describe to you the wonderful places that constantly reminded me of Lord Krishna. As soon as I entered into Gaya, I heard the auspicious sounds of chanting and conch shells and bells. Hundreds and hundreds of Brahmin priests were chanting from the Vedas and were glorifying the lotus feet of Lord Krishna and his place of pilgrimage where the Lord left his lotus feet impression. They said, 'Welcome to the holy spot where the Lord washed his lotus feet.' In previous ages, when Lord Krishna visited Gaya, he washed his transcendental lotus feet. Mother Ganga has become glorious and holy by the touch of the waters from the lotus feet of the Lord, and Lord Shiva holds that water on his head with the full realization that this is the water from the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, and that is why this place of pilgrimage has become one of the holiest and known as Padapadma Tirtha, or the pilgrimage where the Lord left the waters of his lotus feet." As soon as the Lord repeated the name of Gaya Dham or Padapadma Tirtha, and remembered the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu, incessant streams of tears poured down from his eyes. The Lord became extremely restless, unable to control his spiritual emotions. He began crying out the name of Lord Krishna. So profuse were the tears of love of God that it watered an entire flower garden. He sighed deeply, repeating Krishna's name. His whole body was covered with horripilation. He could not control himself anymore. He shivered like an autumn leaf. Sriman Pandit and other devotees present were astounded at seeing this wonderful manifestation of love of Krishna. The devotees could not remain unaffected. Tears swelled up in their eyes and flowed freely and unrestrained, as if Mother Ganga had found another source. They all thought in their minds, "How this sight is. We have never seen the Lord acting like this. This must be the great mercy of Lord Krishna, that he has allowed us to see such spiritual emotions." After a while, the Lord became still, and external consciousness returned to him. He began to speak again. "My dear friends, please return to your homes today, but I want to see all of you tomorrow again and discuss very confidentially. I want to disclose the deep sadness in my heart. Come to Suklambar Brahmachari's house with Murari and Sadashiv." Everyone returned to their houses, and the Lord became engrossed in his own world. The spirit of love of Godhead had now entered into the body of the Lord, and he had lost all taste for anything mundane. Mother Sachi could not understand the transformation that had overcome her son, but nevertheless, she was happy just to have him near her. She saw her son crying out Krishna's name, and tears of love of Godhead flowed profusely from his eyes. The Lord cried out, "Where is my beloved Krishna? Where is my beloved Krishna?" This increased his mood of separation in love of Krishna. All such activities of the Lord were incomprehensible to Mother Sachi. So in great awe, with folded hands, she prayed for the shelter of Lord Govinda. The time had dawned when Lord Chaitanya was to reveal his real identity, and the entire universe swayed with the waves of joy. News spread to all the devotees of the Lord, who was constantly shedding tears of love of Godhead, and so they all ran to meet him. All the Vaishnavas visited the Lord. The Lord treated them humbly and spoke with everyone. He requested the Vaishnavas, "Please come and meet me in Suklambar Brahmachari's house tomorrow. I want to open my grief-laden heart to all of you." Sriman Pandit was extremely happy when he saw this wonderful transformation in the Lord, his extraordinary love of Godhead. The devotees, as usual, went early in the morning to pick flowers. In Srinivas's house, there is a jasmine tree, which was like a wish-fulfilling desire tree. As many flowers were picked from the tree was never empty of flowers. It had an inexhaustible bloom of fresh flowers. So all the devotees, as usual, met during the flower picking, and they exchanged words and topics on Krishna and his wonderful pastimes. And every morning, they, Gadadhar, Gopinath, Ram, and Srinivas, enjoyed each other's company. Just then, Sriman Pandit came, laughing with joy, and everyone greeted him, saying, "Why are you so happy today?" Sriman said, "Certainly, there must be a reason." So they asked, "Why do you not say it?" Sriman Pandit began, "Then hear the reason. Something most wonderful and most impossible has happened. Nimai Pandit has become a great Vaishnav devotee. I heard that he had returned from Gaya, so I went in the evening to meet him. He spoke with everyone with a humble and very detached air, and did not show the slightest sign of arrogance or insolence. Then alone he took us aside and began telling us about his pilgrimage and about Lord Krishna. His eyes flooded over with tears of love of Godhead. His whole body was overwhelmed with ecstatic symptoms, shivering, horripilation, and as soon as he cried out Lord Krishna's name, he fell to the ground unconscious. When he regained consciousness, he repeated Krishna's name and began crying in separation from the Lord, as if Mother Ganga was flowing there. After I saw such an exhibition of sublime love of God, I am convinced in my mind that he is not an ordinary personality. When he became controlled and stilled, he told us that we should all come and meet him in Suklambar Brahmachari's house today, and I should bring Sadashiv Pandit and Murari along with me, and he was to reveal the torment within his heart to us. Thus, I have told you the reason for my joy and the most auspicious news." Sriman's words gave much pleasure to all the devotees, and they loudly repeated Lord Hari's name. Srivas Thakur commented, May Lord Krishna increase our congregation. The assembled devotees appreciated this mood of Srivas Thakur, and happily they discussed topics on Krishna consciousness. The joyous sound that went around them was pleasing to the heart. The devotees blessed everyone, saying, "May everyone be blessed by worshipping the lotus feet of Lord Krishna." Sriman Pandit then left this Vaishnava assembly and proceeded to Suklambar Brahmachari's house. Gadadhar Pandit, who had heard the discussion silently while everyone was picking flowers, also went towards the house of Suklambar Brahmachari, while the others went to perform their daily worship of the Lord. Gadadhar Pandit thought, "Let me go and hear what he speaks about Krishna." He entered the house and hid himself. Sadashiv, Murari, and Sriman and Suklambar, and other such highly advanced loving devotees, had already assembled there. Just then, Lord Vishvambar, the crest jewel of the Brahmins, appeared in the assembly. They greeted each other happily, but the Lord was all the time engrossed within himself. As soon as he was in the assembly of Vaishnav devotees, he began reciting different shlokas. He said, "I had found my beloved Lord, but then he disappeared. In which direction did he go?" Saying these words, he fell down completely paralyzed. The Lord embraced the pillars of the house and began crying out, "Where is Krishna?" and then again fell down. The devotees became affected by the Lord's intense mood of separation from his beloved Lord Krishna. He constantly repeated, "O Krishna, where is my Krishna?" And the devotees became intoxicated in that mood, and they swayed about the room. Gadadhar Pandit, inside the room, unseen by anyone, fell down unconscious. The devotees lost all sense of direction and identity. Nobody knew where he was. They became so overwhelmed with love of God, Krishna, that all external consciousness was lost in them. And Janavadevi, Mother Ganga, was amazed at the whole spiritual scene. After a while, consciousness returned to the Lord, and he again repeated Lord Krishna's name and began crying bitterly. It was a wonderful scene. Everyone had lost themselves in an ocean of ecstatic bliss of love of God. The Lord fell repeatedly and continuously lamented, "O my beloved Lord Krishna, where did you go?" In this ecstatic mood, the Lord fell many times to the ground unconscious, but no bruises or pain were visible on his transcendental body. Loud, jubilant cries and weeping in love of Krishna reverberated through the entire house, and Suklambar's house became surcharged with ecstasy of love of Godhead. After a while, the Lord calmed himself and sat down, but tears of ecstatic love flowed unrestrained from his eyes. He asked, "Who is inside the house?" Suklambar Brahmachari replied, "Your beloved Gadadhar Pandit." Gadadhar Pandit entered with his head down, and his unchecked tears flowed profusely in torrents. This pleased the Lord beyond words. The Lord said, "Dear Gadadhar, you are the most fortunate and pious, because from your childhood you developed unflinching love of God, Krishna. But my life has been wasted so far in useless pursuit of material knowledge. Then finally, when I found the most precious object of love, he disappeared as a result of my previous impious and profane activities." Saying this, the Lord Vishvambar again fell unconscious to the ground, and the dust covered his entire body. Sometime his external consciousness returned, and then again he fell unconscious, totally lost in ecstatic separation of his beloved Lord Krishna. This was certainly the grace of God that the Lord was not hurt in pain. It became impossible for the Lord to open his eyes because they were brimming with tears of love of Krishna, and the only words he repeated were Krishna's name. He embraced everyone and cried bitterly and asked, "Where is my beloved Krishna? My dear brothers, please tell me quickly." The devotees were greatly moved to see his intense pain of separation from Krishna, and they remained dumbfounded, lost for words. The Lord said, "Please release me from this grief. I only need the son of Nanda Maharaj, the Lord of the Gopis. I need Lord Krishna." Saying this, he again fell down, his hair loose, mingled in the dust. The day passed unnoticed by anyone, and finally the Lord bade farewell to all the devotees. After the Lord had departed, the devotees spoke openly, expressing their surprise. Each one had marveled at the Lord. Their external senses and body had become numb. The entire Vaishnav community was overjoyed at the new turn of events. The word spread quickly, and it was received by all the devotees with great joy, and spontaneously they responded by chanting the holy name of Krishna. They could not restrain their amazement and made comments like, "He will reveal God to everyone." Someone else said, "When Nimai Pandit feels a little better in this condition, then he can easily break the heads of atheists." Another commented, "I have no doubt that he will reveal to the world the most confidential pastimes of Lord Krishna." Another commented, "Perhaps because of this association with a pure devotee like Ishwarapuri, that he saw the Supreme Lord Krishna." Endlessly, they tried to find a possible reason for the Lord's transformation. The devotees were very happy about Nimai Pandit, and they all blessed him, saying, "May he be blessed with the mercy of Lord Krishna." The devotees were truly very happy. They danced, sang, and cried tears of love with a new life. While the devotees were happily engaged in dancing and singing, the Lord became totally immersed in his mood of ecstatic absorption. He went to the house of Gangadas Pandit. He offered his respects to the feet of his teacher, and his teacher got up and affectionately embraced him. Gangadas Pandit said, "What a glorious life! You have liberated both the families of your mother and father. All your students have been awaiting you anxiously. They have not opened their books since you left. And even if Lord Balaram had come in person and told them to read, they would have refused. You have returned to brighten everyone's days. But go home now, and tomorrow come back and begin your teaching." The Lord again offered his obeisances to his teacher before he left, and all the students surrounded the Lord like many stars surrounding the moon. He went to the house of Mukunda Sanjay and sat in the courtyard of the Durga temple. The whole household of Mukunda Sanjay was overwhelmed with joy. The Lord embraced Purushottama Sanjay and drenched him with tears of love. The ladies, elevated with joy, made an auspicious sound, and the whole house was reverberating with jubilant sounds. The Lord glanced mercifully at everyone and returned back to the house. He came and sat in the temple room, then affectionately bade everyone farewell. Whoever came to meet the Lord and spoke to him went away bewildered, unable to comprehend the Lord's mood. No trace of previous arrogance or showing off the Lord's learning remained in the Lord's character. Everyone saw that he was completely detached and engrossed in deep meditation. Mother Sachi was completely at a loss. She could not understand her son anymore. She prayed constantly to Mother Ganga and Lord Vishnu for her son's well-being. She prayed, "O my Lord Krishna Chandra, you have taken my husband. You have also taken my son. There is only Nimai who remains with me. O Krishna, I am helpless and alone. Just grant me this one favor. Let my child Vishvambar remain in the house, healthy and whole." Mother Sachi would bring Lakshmi Devi and make her sit in front of the Lord, and the Lord would stare without noticing her. The Lord continuously recited shlokas and kept lamenting and repeating, "Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna?" And at times when the Lord roared in ecstatic bliss, Lakshmi Devi ran away in fear, and Mother Sachi stood helpless and fearful. The ecstasy of love of Krishna kept him away from sleeping, and his unbearable separations from Krishna made him sit up the whole night through. As soon as he saw anyone, he immediately went inside himself and did not exhibit any of the ecstatic symptoms. Early every morning, he went for his bath in the Ganga, and on his return from his bath, he found the students waiting for him. The Lord uttered only Krishna's name and nothing else, but the students could not understand their teacher in this mood. On the students' request, the Lord sat down to teach. The students sat down and opened their books, taking the Lord's name Hari, as they used to. The son of Mother Sachi, Nimai Pandit, was greatly overjoyed at hearing his beloved Lord's name. He again became absorbed, forgetting his external senses, and he looked upon everyone with his merciful glance. Totally absorbed in Krishna, the Lord began explaining to his students. He told his students that the essential lesson of everything was Lord Krishna. All aphorisms, commentaries, and dissertations were actually describing the glories of the holy name. The Lord said, "The only eternal truth is the holy name of Krishna. Krishna is the only worshipable Lord in all the scriptures. Krishna is the supreme controller, the Lord of the entire creation. Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, and every other deity are his servants. Whoever tries to explain anything without describing the lotus feet of Lord Krishna is in illusion. His words are untrue, and his birth is useless." The entire Vedanta and all the Agamas and other philosophical treatises point out that devotion to the lotus feet of Krishna is the only and ultimate goal. All the mundane scholars are mesmerized by the illusory potency of the Lord, and they are totally lost because they cannot find shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna. Lord Krishna is an ocean of mercy, and he is the life and soul of every living entity. He is most dear to his surrendered souls, the dear son of Mother Yashoda. A person may be very versed in all the scriptures, but if he has no attraction and attachment for the holy name of Lord Krishna, then he follows the path of destruction and hell. And if a wretched and abominable person chants Lord Krishna's name, then even if he is sinful, he reaches the supreme abode of Lord Krishna after leaving this material world. This is the verdict of all the scriptures, and if anyone doubts it, then he is the worst sufferer. If anyone tries to explain the scriptures without having taken shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, then such a degraded person can never know the purport of the scriptures. He pretends to be a teacher of the scriptures, yet he does not know the real purport of the scriptures. He is like a washerman's donkey carrying the load of all the scriptures. Such a soul is truly unfortunate because, in spite of his education, he has forfeited the joy of Krishna consciousness. People in general are so foolish that instead of meditating on the Supreme Lord Krishna, they meditate on others, not knowing that the same Supreme Lord Krishna offered liberation to the demoness Putana, who had come to kill him. For what greater pleasure do they leave glorifying Lord Krishna? For didn't he redeem the demon, Agasura? That Supreme Lord Krishna, whose name alone can purify the entire universe. Lord Brahma becomes overwhelmed with joy when he participates in the great festivities surrounding Lord Krishna. But these unfortunate souls disregard this and sing and dance and revel in inauspicious, mundane activities. Intoxicated by wealth, high birth, education, etc., they do not know the wonders of the holy name of Krishna that liberated Ajamil just by chanting the Lord's name once. My dear students and brothers, please hear me carefully, for everything I say is very true. You should just worship the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna, the most precious treasure. Lakshmi Devi always desires to serve these lotus feet, and Lord Shiva has become a pure devotee just by taking shelter of them. And these supreme lotus feet are the ultimate source of Mother Ganga. So all of you, my brothers, please simply desire to take shelter of the Lord's lotus feet. Now I also want to send out a challenge to refute my explanations that I have just rendered. Lord Vishvambar is the supreme absolute truth and the embodiment of transcendental sound vibration. So whatever he speaks is the absolute truth. The mesmerized students listened to the Lord's words with undivided attention, while the Lord spoke on as if in a trance, revealing the absolute truth. The Lord explained everything in the light of Krishna consciousness, and he established a facile connection of every word with the Supreme Lord Krishna. This was an astonishing feat. Lord Vishvambar soon became aware of his external words, and coming out of his trance, he became shy thinking that his students would think of him as being mad or something. So in order to cover it up, he said a few words. He asked the students, "How were my commentaries today?" The students replied, "We could not understand anything. You have described Krishna as a purport to every word. Who is there who can understand your explanations?" Lord Vishvambhar laughed and said, "Listen, my dear brothers, pack your books and let's go to the Ganga for a bath." The students put their books away and accompanied Lord Vishvambhar down to the Ganga. They were all happy to be in the water playing and joking. Lord Vishvambhar, surrounded by all his students, looked like the glowing full moon just rising out of the ocean. All those who saw the Lord frolicking in the waters were extremely pious and fortunate. Even Lord Brahma aspires to see the Lord like this, playing in the water. Everyone who had come to bathe kept looking longingly at the beautiful face of Lord Gaurachandra. They said to each other, "How beautiful he is. His father and mother are really blessed." Mother Ganga could not contain the joy she experienced by the Lord's presence in her waters. Her waters swirled, sending out dancing waves of ecstasy. She was dancing with joy. She wanted to serve those lotus feet that are even desired by Anantashesh and all the demigods. So her many thousand waves washed the Lord's lotus feet. Only the Vedas know the truth about all such transcendental activities of the Lord and his devotees. And in the future, someone will come and reveal these wonderful pastimes of the Lord. Finishing his bath, the Lord returned home, and the students went back to their respective homes. He changed his clothes and washed his feet, and then offered water to the tulsi plant. He performed his daily worship of Lord Govinda, and then came to take his meal. Mother Sachi brought his plate with rice, tulsi manjari, and other preparations. The Lord offered the preparations to the deity, and then the Lord of the entire universe began taking his meal. Mother Sachi, the mother of the universe, sat in front of the Lord as he ate, while Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune, remained inside, unseen, and looked at the Lord. Mother Sachi asked, "My son, what book did you read today? And who did you have an argument with?" The Lord replied, "Today we read about the holy name of Krishna, the glories of his lotus feet, the abode of all excellencies. His name and transcendental qualities are eternal. Chanting and hearing the Lord's name is also eternal. His surrendered servants and devotees are also eternal. That scripture is true and eternal that explains the process of devotional service to the Supreme Lord Krishna. Otherwise, such a book cannot be called a scripture. It is an atheistic and shallow book. The Vedic scriptures say, that scripture which fails to establish the process of devotional service is to be rejected. Even if Lord Brahma himself was to come and speak from it, one should never hear him speak. If the lowest man in human society, the dog eater, utters Krishna's holy name, then he is not the lowest of mankind. And a Brahmin, born in a high family, is not a Brahmin if he does not follow the principles of scripture and religion." Lord Vishvambhar spoke to his mother, just like Lord Kapila had spoken to his mother, Devahuti. "Dear mother, listen to the wonderful influence of the process of devotional service to Lord Krishna. Try to develop in every respect attachment to the Supreme Lord. The devotees of Lord Krishna can never be destroyed. The fearful death himself is afraid of a servant of the Lord. The excruciating pains of birth and death and living in the womb of the mother is never experienced by the Lord's devotees. All such sufferings are unknown to the devotee. Whoever refuses to worship the lotus feet of Krishna, who is the father of every living entity, is a great sinner, an enemy of his own father, and becomes a resident of hell, birth after birth. My dear mother, please listen attentively. How frightful a living entity suffers if he is not willing to serve the lotus feet of the Lord. Again and again, he has to enter into the womb of his mother as a sinful creation. He is subjected to unbearable suffering in the womb. Everything the mother eats pains him, whether it is spicy, salty, or sour. He suffers, unable to do anything. He cannot protect himself against the many worms and bacteria that nibble his soft, unprotected flesh. Unable to move, he suffers everything inside the hot and sticky womb. He lives through this nightmare if his fate allows him to. There are some who are extremely sinful. They are condemned to die within the womb again and again. The living entity, after remaining 7 months within the womb, begins to gradually understand his position. He remembers his previous birth and promise, and he begins to repent for his mistake. He sighs and prays heedlessly to Lord Krishna. O Lord Krishna, please save me. You are the life and soul of all the living entities. You are the only shelter to turn to for the living entities in distress. Due to my forgetfulness, Krishna, I have been captured by the external energy of the Lord. O Lord, you whom are the Lord of all the energies, please relieve me by an easy death. I have wasted my life chasing after illusory and temporary happiness, such as family, children, wealth, etc., and I neglected your priceless and eternal lotus feet. The son who I raised so lovingly in a life of sin, where is he now? Where is everything? What have all my activities brought me? Who will save me from this untold suffering? My Lord, you are the only friend. In this distress, now I know that your lotus feet are the only eternal shelter. O Lord Krishna, please save me. I take the shelter of your lotus feet. O foolish me, I have left such a merciful Lord as yourself, who is like a touchstone, supplying all desires, and became mad after illusion, and I forgot you. For such a crime, my present suffering condition is a proper punishment. But now, O Lord, please be merciful upon me. Grant me just this one favor, that I may never forget you and neglect your lotus feet. That wherever I am, whether living or dying, I can always remember you. I do not want to be in that place where there are no assemblies of your devotees. I do not even want to be in Indraloka if they do not celebrate your festivals. The Srimad Bhagavatam says, an intelligent person does not take interest in a place, even in the topmost planetary system. If the pure river of topics concerning the Supreme Lord's activities do not flow there, if there are no devotees engaged in service on the banks of such a river of piety, or if there are no festivals and Sankirtan Yajna to satisfy the Lord, especially since Sankirtan Yajna is recommended in this age. Better, O Lord, to live cramped up perpetually in an airtight mother's womb, suffering constantly, if I can remember your lotus feet there. But I never want to live in a place where I must forget your lotus feet. O Lord, please be merciful and never put me in a place like that. So many millions of births I have suffered in this abominable position. O Lord, they were all due to my own sinful activity. Let me always remain in that precarious and suffering position if you mercifully appear on the mirror of my memory, because you are the essence of all Vedic scriptures. O Lord, please offer me your servitude and keep me eternally at your lotus feet, just like a sold-out slave. And if this time you relieve me from this painful condition, then I want nothing other than your lotus feet. In this way, the living entity suffers unbearable pain within the womb, yet he still loves this painful condition because he can still remember Lord Krishna. Praying to the Lord in this manner, the devotee does not feel the pain anymore, and soon he comes out of the womb unwillingly. O Mother, please listen carefully to the position of the conditioned living entity. As soon as he enters this world, he loses all of his knowledge. Sometimes he is sleeping as though unconscious. Sometimes he is crying, breathing deeply, unable to express himself. He is drowned in an ocean of suffering. The living entities are eternal servants of Lord Krishna. If they turn away from the Lord, then they suffer the punishment meted out by the illusory potency of the Lord. After some years, knowledge and intelligence blossom within him, and then, if he worships Lord Krishna, he is truly fortunate and pious. But if by the influence of bad association he does not worship the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, then he falls down into the dark well of sin and suffering. The Srimad Bhagavatam says, "If, therefore, the living entity again associates with the path of unrighteousness, influenced by sensually minded people engaged in the pursuit of sexual enjoyment and the gratification of the palate, he again goes to hell as before." It is also said in the scriptures, "A person who remembers and worships Lord Krishna does have an untroubled life and an easy death. Therefore, O Mother, please associate with devotees and worship Lord Krishna. Within your mind, think of Lord Krishna. With your mouth, chant Hari. Non-devotional activities bring no good result. Non-devotional activities bring only calamity." Assuming the mood of Lord Kapila, Lord Chaitanya taught his mother in this way. Hearing these words, Sachi became very joyful. Whether he was eating, sleeping, or awake, Lord Chaitanya did not talk of anything but Lord Krishna. Devotees hear descriptions of Lord Krishna, speak them, and think about them in their hearts. The devotees think, "When will Lord Krishna appear before me? When will I be able to associate with devotees? When will I become pure at heart?" This is how the devotees think in their hearts. These thoughts bring them great happiness. By appearing in this world, Lord Chaitanya destroyed the materialists and offenders and broke the devotees' sufferings. Assuming the role of a Vaishnav, Lord Chaitanya always saw Lord Krishna present everywhere in the world. With his ears, he heard Lord Krishna's names day and night. With his mouth, he spoke the word Krishna Chandra without stopping. Lord Vishvambar forgot the nectar of learning. Now he was not attracted to anything but Lord Krishna. Early every morning, his students would gather for class. He who is the master of the three worlds would sit down to lecture. However, nothing but Krishna came to his tongue. The students asked, "What is the perfection of Varnashram and the scriptures?" The Lord replied, "Lord Narayan is the perfection of all the Varnas." A student asked, "How is he the perfection of the Varnas?" The Lord replied, "Lord Krishna's glance created the Varnas." A student said, "O Pundit, please give the right explanation." The Lord said, "You should remember Lord Krishna at every moment. I have described the worship of Lord Krishna. That is the right teaching of all the scriptures. In their beginning, middle, and end, the scriptures teach the worship of Lord Krishna." Hearing the Lord's explanation, the students laughed. Someone said, "I think an imbalance of the life airs is the cause of this explanation." The students said, "Why do you talk like this?" The Lord replied, "This is the teaching of the scriptures." The Lord said, "If you cannot understand it now, then this afternoon, please think about it and try to understand it. Each student, go to a secluded place and look at his books. In the afternoon, we will meet again." Hearing the Lord's words, the surprised students tied up their books and left. All the students told Gangadas what the Lord had said. They said, "Nimai Pandit says that all words in the scriptures refer to Lord Krishna. From the time he returned home from Gaya, he talks only of Krishna and nothing else. He continually chanted Lord Krishna's name, feeling great ecstasy, and sometimes he laughed out loud, sometimes roared out loudly, and sometimes his whole body broke out in horripilation. In this way, different symptoms manifested within him. When he sat down to teach, he connected the root of every single word to Krishna. All his purports and commentaries described Krishna. This new transformation in him seems to be so alien to us. Please, O Master, please tell us what we can do." Gangadas Pandit, the jewel-like teacher of Navadvip, smiled after listening to the complaints of the students. He told them, "Go home now and return tomorrow morning. I will teach Nimai a lesson. I will see that he tutors all of you properly from now on. Be here with your books tomorrow morning to attend Nimai's class." The students, relieved and happy, came back the next afternoon to attend Vishvambhar's classes. The Lord touched his master's feet with respect, and Gangadas Pandit blessed him, saying, "May you become highly learned." Gangadas Pandit then said, "My dear Vishvambhar, I must tell you something. You know that it is no small matter for a Brahmin to be able to teach. It is a question of good fortune. Your grandfather is none other than Sri Nilambar Chakravarti, and your father, Sri Jagannath Mishra, are both great scholars. Neither of your parents' families are illiterate, and you yourself are a very able scholar with an exceptional faculty to give commentaries. Would you say that one achieves the path of devotion by giving up his education and learning? In that case, aren't your parents devotees of the Lord? The only thing that I know is that you should learn and study properly, and only through proper education and learning can one become a Vaishnava Brahmin. How can an illiterate Brahmin develop the faculty for discrimination between good and bad, proper and improper? My knowledge tells me that you should chant Krishna's name and continue your education. Go and teach the scriptures in the proper way, with the proper explanations, and do not try to misconstrue its meanings." The Lord replied, "By your grace and the mercy of your lotus feet, there is no one in Navadweep who can defeat me in any argument, who can refute my arguments and then establish a new and original concept. I will go into town and teach. I would like to see who has the courage to find the faults and mistakes in my commentaries." The teacher Gangadas Pandit was very pleased with Vishvambhar, who offered his obeisances to his master and left. Gangadas Pandit is so fortunate and such an elevated personality that his disciple offered obeisances to his feet, and his disciple is none other than the Lord of Saraswati Devi, the goddess of learning. What more can Gangadas Pandit aspire for? For his disciple is the most worshipable lord of the entire universe. Lord Vishvambhar walked down the street surrounded by his students like the shining full moon against a velvet dark firmament, surrounded by so many stars. Lord Vishvambhar, whose lotus feet are worshipped by Lakshmi Devi within her heart eternally, came and sat on the bank of the river Ganga. There he began his explanations and commentaries, establishing, refuting, and then re-establishing different points. The Lord said, "In Kali Yuga, the so-called scholar has no idea of conjugation, but receives the title of Bhattacharya. One who has no knowledge of philosophy still has the audacity to debate. But none of these scholars can ever challenge me. Whatever arguments I establish and whatever I refute, let me see if there is anyone who can challenge this." Like this, the Lord of the Universe, Vishvambhar, boldly challenged everyone. And who is there who can take up that challenge? The scholars who came to pay their respects to Mother Ganga heard Lord Vishvambhar's bold words in fearful silence, their scholarly pride broken to pieces. Is there anyone in Navadweep who can challenge Vishvambhar in debate? The Lord continued to speak for 4 hours as if in a trance, explaining and giving commentaries. It was late in the evening, yet the Lord did not stop. Then the Lord visited another gentleman's house, and this happened to be the house of a very pious Brahmin whose name was Ratnagarbha Acharya. He was a close acquaintance of Lord Vishvambhar's father, and both were born in the same village. He had 3 sons who were elevated devotees of the Lord, full of spiritual humor. They were like the bees which gather nectarian pollen from the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Their names were Krishnananda, Jiva, and Varunath Kavichandra. Ratnagarbha Acharya was a great devotee of the Lord and very fond of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and he was now reading from the Bhagavatam with great respect and affection. He read, "The wives of the Brahmins saw a beautiful young boy. His complexion was darkish. He wore a golden yellow cloth. He was nicely decorated with flower garlands around his neck. A peacock feather slanted sideways out of his crown, and precious stones and metals glistened brightly like stars. He was with his friends, and he stood leaning against a dear friend, his left hand around his shoulders, and with his right hand he twirled a beautiful lotus flower. His ears were decorated with earrings in the shape of lotus flowers. His cheeks carried decorative designs of sandalwood paste, and a sweet smile played on his lotus-like mouth. These words of Srimad Bhagavatam, spoken with great devotion, entered the ears of Lord Vishvambhar. The devotion of the speaker affected the Lord, and as soon as he heard these words, the Lord fell down unconscious, overcome with loving spiritual ecstasy. All the students were amazed at the sight. After remaining in a trance for a while, the Lord regained his external consciousness. When he was able to speak, the Lord said to Ratnagarbha Acharya, "Go on, go on." And he rolled on the ground in ecstasy. The Lord urged him on, saying, "Go on, go on." And the Brahmin continued to read. And everyone floated on the ocean of nectar-like love of Krishna. Unrestrained tears from the Lord's eyes flooded the entire world. All the ecstatic symptoms like shivering, horripilation, and crying manifested in the Lord's person. The Brahmin was extremely happy, and he continued to read the shlokas with great inspiration. The Lord was very satisfied with the Brahmin's devotion, and he embraced him warmly. Being touched, Ratnagarbha Acharya experienced immense bliss. He fell down and held the Lord's lotus feet, crying, and from that moment he became trapped by the love of Lord Chaitanya. He continuously read the slokas from Srimad Bhagavatam, and the Lord responded, roaring loudly, "Go on, go on." The people were completely amazed at this sight, and they realized that something extraordinary was taking place. Then Gadadhar Pandit intervened and told the Acharya, "Do not read any further." He stopped reading, and they all sat down, surrounding the Lord. When external consciousness returned to the Lord, he inquired, "Tell me what happened. Did I act very restlessly?" The students replied, "What ability do we have to be able to explain your activities? All we know is that you are very fortunate." The Lord's friends and relatives discouraged them and said, "Do not praise him like this." The Lord now withdrew his emotions within himself, and he accompanied all the students to the bank of the Ganga. The Lord sprinkled some water on his head, offering his obeisances to the Ganga, and sat down on her banks. Nimai Pandit, the son of Mother Sachi, sat with all the students discussing topics about Krishna, just as Lord Krishna sat with all the young damsels of Vrindavan on the banks of the Yamuna. He spent some time with the boys, and then everyone returned to their respective homes. The Lord returned to his home, and after his meal, he lay down to rest, just like Mahavishnu lies down for Yoga Nidra. After a good night's sleep, the students returned early in the morning with their books to see the Lord. The Lord went for his daily ablutions to the Ganga, and on returning sat down with his students and began explaining and commenting on the different aspects of grammar. But all of his explanations and commentaries revolved around one subject only, Krishna, and the process of devotional service to the Lord. The students inquired, "What is the definition of verbal roots?" The Lord replied, "It is the energy of Lord Krishna." My dear students, I will now explain the aphorisms of verbal roots. Let me see who can refute my explanation. There have been many kings with beautiful bodies, decorated with golden ornaments, flower garlands, and sandalwood paste, and people say that they are the representatives of Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, and their words are the words of Yamaraj, the presiding demigod of religious principles. Let me explain to you what happens when Dhatu, or life, leaves their body. Where goes their physical beauty, their decorations, and their power? Some of them turn to ashes, and some become buried underneath the earth. Lord Krishna is present in everybody in the form of his energy, Dhatu, or his life. So-called scholars and teachers are very confused, and they do not understand the real meaning of Dhatu, or verbal roots. So all of you now listen attentively. The kingly personality who was for so long worshipped and respected becomes contaminated as soon as life leaves him, and when his body is touched, one must take a bath. The son who spent happy hours on the lap of his father must touch fire to the dead father's mouth and burn his body to ashes. Therefore, the definition of Dhatu, or essential substance, is the energy of Lord Krishna that is loved by everyone. Now I want to see if there is anyone capable of refuting this explanation. So, worship the energy of Krishna, which is so pure, transcendental, and worshipable. Develop unflinching faith and devotion in Lord Krishna. Just chant Krishna's name, worship his lotus feet, and hear only the name of Lord Krishna. Spend all of your time meditating on the lotus feet of the Lord. Just take shelter of the lotus feet of the son of Nanda Maharaj. For if one simply worships the lotus feet with a little water and grass or leaf, then the Lord of Death can never approach him. Just worship him who has, by killing Agasura and Bakasura and Putana, given them liberation. Ajamil, at the point of death, cried out his son's name Narayan, even after a sinful life. Then by worshipping the Lord's lotus feet and remembering the Lord, he gave up attachment for his son and went to the spiritual sky, the Vaikuntha planets. Simply take shelter of those supreme lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna. Lord Shiva and Lakshmi Devi are always desirous of worshipping those lotus feet. Lord Anantashesh very humbly always glorifies the wonderful mercy of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. As long as there is life within the body and strength in the limbs and mind, take shelter of devotional service to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Krishna is your mother. Krishna is your father. Krishna is your very life and soul. Simply embrace his lotus feet and offer your mind, words, and body completely to him. Lord Vishvambar, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, explained the devotional mood of servitorship to himself, unaware that it was already past noon, and still he continued. The students listened as if hypnotized with undivided attention. No one felt like disturbing or making contradictory remarks. One must understand that these students are not ordinary mortals. They are all servants of Lord Krishna. Otherwise, how can they be personally taught by the Supreme Lord, Krishna? After a while, Lord Vishvambar came out from this trance and looked at everyone's face, feeling a little ashamed and shy. He asked, "How were my explanations on verbal roots?" The students replied, "You have revealed the truth to us. Your explanations on the word meanings are impossible to be refuted or contradicted by anyone. All of your explanations are eternal truths. The reference we use for our understanding may comply with the present-day grammatical concepts of the so-called scholars, but we can understand that these are not the proper meanings." The Lord said, "Can any of you explain how my wind disorder is influencing my mind? And instead of explaining the nature of verb roots, I do not know who or what I am talking about." The students replied, "You have always described the glories of the holy name of God. All of your commentaries and definitions and purports describe Lord Krishna and his transcendental potencies. Who can understand such esoteric subject matters? The transformations we notice that come over you as soon as you hear transcendental subject matters of Krishna and his holy name are so wonderful that we cannot think of you as an ordinary personality." The Lord inquired, "What sort of transformation did you see in me?" The students replied, "It was marvelous, the different emotions that played on you, like shivering, your tears, and your entire body covered with horripilations. We have never seen anything like this before. Yesterday we accompanied you to the bank of the river Ganga, where you were explaining from the books to us. In one of those houses, a Brahmin was reciting a sloka. You fell down unconscious as if the life air had left your body. We were bewildered and amazed. And when you came out of your trance, unrestricted tears poured out of your eyes in streams like the flowing of the Ganga. Finally, you began shivering so uncontrollably that even 1,000 men could not have held you still. Horripilation covered you from head to toe, and perspiring profusely, you lay upon the ground as if you were a golden statue in the dust. Everyone present marveled at you, and they all said that he is the Supreme Lord Narayan. Some were saying that you were Srila Vyasadeva, Shukadeva Goswami, or Narada Muni, or even Prahlad Maharaj. You were equal to them in receiving the Supreme Lord's mercy. All of us got together and tightly held you down, and gradually your external consciousness returned. You do not know any of these details that we have just described. We want to tell you something more. Please listen to us attentively. All of your explanations on word meanings and aphorisms for the last 10 days describe the process of devotional service to Lord Krishna and the glories of the holy name of Krishna. So for the last 10 days, we have not been able to follow the lessons in the books, and we were a little fearful to tell you this. Your profound erudition can explain unlimited meanings of words. It is truly amazing. No one can equal that feat. The Lord replied, 10 days without studies? Was it not your duty to tell me about this? The students replied, your explanations were very correct. Lord Krishna is the eternal truth. This is the verdict of all the scriptures. Your explanations on the supreme absolute truth is absolute education and is the essence of all the scriptures. But we were unable to understand them due to our own faults and limited intelligence. These words greatly pleased the Lord. He gently blessed them and said, my dear students, you have spoken the truth. My words are not meant for others. I am constantly seeing a little boy playing the flute. He has a blackish-blue glowing complexion. That is why you always hear me speaking about him. All that you have heard is actually the name of Lord Krishna, and everything that you see around you is the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan. Therefore, I shall not teach any more. I give you complete freedom to go to anyone that you want to and study under him, because, to tell you the truth, I cannot speak about anything other than Lord Krishna, his name, and his pastimes. It will not be possible for me to teach you any more in this condition. Lord Vishvambar then tied the books together and handed them to the students with tears in his eyes. The students then spoke up. We have also decided, according to your desire, to give up studies, because once we have studied under you, where can we find another teacher who is able to explain and teach the way you do? The thought of separation from their teacher was too heavy a burden for the students to bear, and they began to lament. They said, the explanations that we have heard from you, we want to treasure them in our hearts, birth after birth, and meditate upon them. What is the use of studying further, and who shall we go to? All that we have learnt from you is more than sufficient for us. Overcome with feelings and with folded hands, they prayed to the Lord and then tied their books. The students were now extremely happy, and they jubilantly shouted Lord Hari's name. Lord Vishvambar embraced his students and began to weep. Everyone was drowned in the waves of joy. Their voices choked with ecstatic bliss. The son of Mother Sachi, Lord Chaitanya, then blessed them, saying, if I ever become a true servant of Lord Krishna, then may all of your desires be fulfilled. All of you, please take shelter of Lord Krishna and always chant Lord Krishna's holy name. Try to hear Krishna's name always, and may Krishna become your most precious object and your very life and soul. Whatever you have studied so far, that is enough. There is no need to study any further. Now all of you get together and chant Lord Krishna's name in one place. By Krishna's mercy, may the purport of all the scriptures manifest within you. All of you are my dear friends, birth after birth. The words of the Lord were like nectar in the students' ears, and they became extremely happy. I offer my obeisances unto the feet of all such students who are so elevated and fortunate to become the direct disciples of the Supreme Lord Vishvambar. All of them are eternal servants of the Supreme Lord Krishna. How can it be any other way? Because Krishna himself personally taught them. One is freed from material bondage just by seeing that person who has seen these wonderful scholarly pastimes of the Supreme Lord. What a miserable birth I have taken that I was excluded from seeing such transcendental pastimes and sights of the Lord. Still, I pray for your mercy, O Lord, that these pastimes of the Lord in the mood of a scholar may remain eternally within my heart. The Lord of Vaikuntha appeared in Nadia to teach in the mood of a scholar. The signs of his appearance are still visible now. The transcendental pastimes of the Lord are eternal and unlimited, without beginning or end. The scriptures describe his eternal pastimes as unmanifest and manifest. The Lord had now begun his pastime of congregational chanting of the holy name, which is the conclusion of all learning and education. The students were sad and weeping, and the Lord was very moved, and he spoke to them comforting words. Now you can fulfill the purpose of your studies by chanting and singing the holy name of Lord Krishna. The students inquired, O Lord, we do not know how to perform this chanting and singing. Why do you not please teach us? The Lord began singing, Hari Haraye Namakrishna Yadavaya Namaha, Gopal Govindaram Srimad Husudan. He clapped his hands and led the students in a beautiful kirtan. Lord Vishvambhar is the Lord of the chanting of the holy name of Krishna, the propagator of the congregational chanting, and now he sang the Lord's holy name, surrounded by his students. He was in an ecstatic trance, tasting the intoxicating nectar of his own name, rolling on the ground, oblivious of everything around him. He repeated, sing on, and kept falling on the ground, and the earth seemed to split each time he crashed to the ground. The residents of Navadvip, hearing the great commotion coming from the Lord's house, rushed to that spot. When the neighboring Vaishnavs heard his loud kirtan, they quickly came to Lord Chaitanya's house. The Vaishnavs saw the Lord's ecstatic trance, and they marveled deep within themselves, feeling great happiness. They thought now, at long last, kirtan has made an appearance in Navadvip. Where in the entire universe is there the practice and propagation of such rare devotional service? Such devotional ecstasy is the perfection of sight. This very same Vishvambhar was the epitome of arrogance, but now the devotional ecstasy he manifests is rarely achieved even by Narada Muni and others. If such a degree of devotion is exhibited by such a vain, glorious personality, we do not understand the will of Lord Krishna and how he can make this happen. After a while, Lord Vishvambhar came out of his ecstatic trance and simply repeated, Krishna, Krishna. Although external consciousness returned, the Lord spoke nothing about this mundane world. He just embraced all of the Vaishnavs and cried. Finding the Lord agitated by ecstatic emotions, the Vaishnavs pacified the Lord, feeling great joy. They then left the Lord's house. Some of the Lord's students, infected by the Lord's love of God, took to the path of renunciation, cultivating detachment from material existence and attachment for the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord Krishna. The Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had now begun the congregational chanting of the holy name of the Lord. He had begun to freely and profusely distribute the nectar of his own holy name, thus washing away all of the sufferings of all the Vaishnava devotees. Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda Prabhu are my life and soul. I, Vrindavan Das, humbly offer this song at their lotus feet.